Okay, Legacy Bank, this is a kind of another priority or waiver of a security interest. So there's revolving credit from Legacy Bank to Canyon. Fabtech was a trade creditor. They got a writ of garnishment on the accounts receivable of Canyon. In that suit, the bank intervened, alleged its prior perfected security interest. But the jury found the bank had waived its rights and lost priority. The appellate court said, not so fast. UCC 9317 says perfected security interest has priority over later judgment liens. 201 says security agreements are effective against subsequent purchasers and creditors. And 9610 has a comment that says disposition by junior creditors not extinguish the senior's security interest. So the court said the bank could not have waived its interest, and it said even though the bank had left the debtor in default for years without a demand, acceleration, or enforcement activities, even after the writ of garnishment, it took them over 6 months to make a demand, and even then, it was a half-hearted demand, and they continued to advance loan proceeds. Court said, those do not constitute a waiver. A waiver requires intent, and that was not intent. Also, the court pointed out that there was a security agreement non-waiver clause, which says there's no waiver unless it's in writing and signed by the creditor. And we know from a year or two ago in the Shields case, the Supreme Court held that non-waiver provisions are enforceable. Okay, this one is a case where San Gabriel owed money. Fortitude agreed for $500,000 to assume the debt, but then never paid. And so Sooner, who was a third party, who claimed he was a third party beneficiary of this debt assumption agreement. So he sued, and then Fortitude said, well, the debt assumption agreement fails for lack of consideration, but the court said, remember, there are two kinds, partial and full, and this is only a partial one, not a full failure, and so therefore, in a partial one, you only get a suit for damages, not to void the contract, so he ended up owing. He also had clever thing. He said in the San Gabriel ultimately filed bankruptcy, and so the suit by Sooner was occurring during that, and Fortitude said the automatic stay in bankruptcy protects me, and the court said good try, but that's only for the debtor and you're not the debtor, so Sooner could sue you. Okay, Norris is a guarantee acceptance case. There was a tenant, this is in a tenant, landlord-tenant situation. There was a failure to pay rent. They entered into a deferred-based rent agreement, and they had kind of an oral understanding, and so the tenant sends a September letter with a guarantee by Norris kind of to memorialize what they thought the deal was. The landlord rejected that, sent them back an October letter, which wasn't acceptable. Then later, the landlord kind of accepted the September letter. And then when they failed to pay, the landlord sued Norris under his guarantee. And Norris said, wait a minute, the September letter you didn't accept, that voided my guarantee. The court looked at the guarantee and said it was not conditioned upon the execution of the base, the deferred rent agreement. And so therefore, it was valid. But I point out the guarantee language says, for an in consideration as an inducement to entering into the agreement. The court said that wasn't a condition. I don't know. I don't agree with it. Okay, this is another interesting guarantee case. You have Orr as was one of six guarantors, three individuals, two LLCs, one LP, and they went into default. Orr pays off the whole debt, gets an assignment of the document, sues Broussard. All of the other the two LLCs and the one LP have somehow disappeared, so we think they probably dissolved or whatever. So, Orr sues Broussard for one-third of the debt, because remember, there were three individuals. Now, the court talked about it but didn't address it since the one-third issue wasn't brief. So I don't know whether that's right or wrong. My personal view is that it's wrong. Or forecloses on the restaurant equipment, which was collateral, but not on the trademark, which collateral. And Broussard challenged all that. And the court held that Orr had given credit to Broussard that Broussard was entitled to credit for the entire foreclosed property, foreclosed equipment, which was like $700. But I question this too, because it looks like Broussard is getting the full 100% on the foreclosed equipment. I don't know why it's not a third. I think that's kind of bogus myself. Also, the court just pointed out that, and then on the trademark collateral, Broussard was complaining that he didn't credit for that, and the court said, you don't have to. UCC 9610 says the secured party may dispose of all or any collateral, so he didn't win there. Okay, next, Duarte Vieira, Fannie Mae, this is a guarantee deficiency suit. And it deals with the affidavit of the creditor, senior asset manager, provided in his affidavit the default date, the foreclosure posting date, the foreclosure date, that Fannie was the successful bidder, the debtor failed to pay the debt, the guarantor failed to pay the guarantee. And the court looked at it and said, that's okay. And they distinguished Skeen and Ecuri Cerveza, where Skeen says that the bare statement of a payment default was conclusory, not probative, so therefore it wasn't sufficient. But in Ecuri Cerveza, the affidavit was not conclusive, even though it only stated that there was a payment default. The distinction, the court said, is that Duarte Vieira and Ecuri, there was only one default provision in the documents, whereas in Skeen, there was multiple provisions. So if you got multiple provisions, you're going to have to be more specific.